I have a friend who calls spring peepers the harbingers of the northern spring. Isn't that pretty? Those are spring peepers, frogs that are calling out and about these days as I guess they're looking for a mate. We are going to talk about spring peepers and other frogs of Wisconsin because they are making a lot of racket these days and because it is Frog Awareness Month, of all things, and because Wisconsin also has a Wisconsin Frog and Toad Survey that is underway. And we are going to welcome your questions about all things frogs and toads at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Very happy to have with us two guests who are experts on frogs and toads. Rory Pulaski is a conservation biologist at the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. She joins us in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
And also with us, Andrew Badgie, a conservation biologist as well with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Joy. Excited to be here.
It's good to have you here. And you are joining us from La Crosse, I believe.
Yes, correct.
Yes. Well, let's first of all, I just learned something within the last 2 minutes. Rory filled me in. One of the reasons we were going to do this show was that it was on April 1st. I remember the date. On April 1st, my husband and I took a hike in Rochechouart State Park, which is in the Adams Friendship area, kind of central Wisconsin, north of the Dells. And as we were walking in this meadow toward this wooded area, we just heard this kind of a loud, it was a chirping or I didn't know what it was. I thought it was cranes at first. And then, let's take a listen. This is what we heard. Now that's me taking a video, and so it's the audio picked up on the video. It was louder than that. It was really loud, and I just couldn't figure it out. And then we saw some frogs splashing about, and that's frogs. The actual area on the map, they called it the Spring Peeper Hike, so I just assumed they were spring peepers. But I thought, that's not very peepy sounding. that's a racket. That's a sandhill crane squawking. But it... That's not a peeper, Rory. That's a what?
Correct. That's a wood frog, which actually is a little bit more rare to see or to hear in Wisconsin. The wood frogs typically only call for about a week or two in the spring. They're considered what we call explosive breeders. They all breed at once and then they're done, whereas the peepers will call for several months. So it's actually rare to get to hear a wood frog call in Wisconsin.
Well, I got to hear a wood frog. That's what they were doing. They were saying, hey, baby, let's get together.
Yes, yep. It's just the males that make that breeding call to attract the females. So there's, a whole type of, field of science that looks at the different types of acoustic frog calls, too. So it's quite specific. But, yep, it's just the males that are calling to attract the females.
Well, I guess I'm glad I heard that.
Yeah,
but
yep.
I haven't heard frogs as much as I used to. I did grow up a little in Appleton, and we would travel to northern Wisconsin a lot, and it seemed... back in the day, I heard frogs all the time. Am I hearing them less frequently now, or is that my imagination?
No, that's probably not your imagination. Over the last several decades, 50 years, even 40 years, people throughout the world have noticed a decline. Researchers have noticed a decline in frog population. So, that ranges from actual extinctions of a lot of frog species to just declines in local populations. So, unfortunately, they're declining. Probably a variety of environmental factors are affecting them. Anything from habitat destruction, alteration, to certain types of pesticides. So it's definitely a worldwide trend that's been noticed in frog populations.
Yeah. I noticed then right after that hike and thought about, we should do a show on frogs because we've done the one
Perfect.
Before. Rory's been with us before on this. And I did notice then that you were also, you had a chat, an online chat about frogs and toads. Why did you have that?
Yeah, we have, the Wisconsin DNR does online chats over the lunch hour throughout the year. And this is the time of year that we try to get people interested and people have questions about frogs. They're just starting to come out for the spring. And so it's a good time of year to talk to people about how the frogs have overwintered. Excuse me, what they can do for the frogs, and just provide them with more information on what they're hearing.
Mm-hmm. And Andrew, you are working with the Frog and Toad Survey, is that right?
Yes, I've been coordinating it since I think about 2011. I can't remember anymore. But it's a citizen-based monitoring project that gets volunteers out across the state to listen for different frog species, as well as record the different relative abundances of each of the frogs, and so from that we can actually get a lot of long-term and regional data as far as all the species and how well they're doing, and again kind of see how the trends are going statewide. So I want to give a shout out to all of my wonderful volunteers. They're very enthusiastic this time of the year, and I'm happy to have each and every one of them on board. So.
Do you want my audio of my wood frogs? No, I'm just kidding.
It can't hurt.
So what do the volunteers do? You're just in every part, every county in the state, just trying to figure out what kind of frogs are where?
Yeah, so we have two different projects. I'll have Rory talk about the phenology side of things, but the kind of the trend monitoring and the distribution portion of it, that's where volunteers, they survey three different nights throughout the spring and the summer. And they actually have roadside driving routes. Some of them, they can hike into properties and listen at pond sites. But there's 10 different sites, and they listen at each site for about 5 to 10 minutes. And, again, record those, the different species that they hear calling, as well as the abundances of each one of those. And again, it's actually really cool what all the volunteers can help DNR managers do, and without them, we really wouldn't have a great big term and long term picture of what's happening with the frogs in the state. So it's actually really exciting that we could do this and that we're the first state to actually implement this throughout the nation. So
yeah, it is very cool. And do you still need volunteers, or is everybody set?
Yes, we can still take volunteers. There's a couple routes in the Milwaukee area. Up in the Northwest, there's about 5 to 10 routes. And then there's actually one in La Crosse where I'm at, as well as a couple in the Appleton-Oshkosh area, too. So, yeah, we can take volunteers year-round as long as there's open routes. So,
yeah. And we'll put more information up on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page if people want to take part in the Frog and Toad Survey. Andrew, what is it that you hope, what do we hope to learn from this survey?
Well, again, the survey kind of helps us determine long-term trends. So back in the 1960s and 70s, a bunch of conservationists just started noticing declines in a few species, for instance, the Blanchard's cricket frog, the American bullfrog, northern leopard frog, and the pickerel frog. And so that kind of caused a little bit of alarm. And so we started up the survey, and again, we spent 3 years to actually fine-tune the protocols, and again, the volunteers have actually really been instrumental in getting that statewide coverage. And so what we can learn, again, is we've learned over that time the statewide distribution of all of our species, whereas before we kind of had patchy distribution and just based off of where biologists were able to survey. And so we've gotten that distribution, as well as, again, the long-term trend since 1984 of all 12 frog and toad species in the state. And also back in 1998, we did a 15-year review, and we kind of looked a little bit more at localized trends throughout the state and did more of a robust statistical analysis. So that's also found online on our website, and it's pretty thorough. So we're hoping to do that again recently and kind of get another updated status.
So, Rory, you do the phenology survey. What is that, and what do you hope to accomplish there?
Yeah, the phenology study is part of our Wisconsin Frog and Toad Survey. So it's another citizen-based monitoring survey that we have in the state for frogs. And this is something Andrew and I and another coworker of mine started a few years ago. And the purpose of this, like Andrew had mentioned, are standard frog and toad routes. Volunteers run the routes, run the surveys 3 times a year. And so, you know, like we had talked about earlier, the wood frogs typically only call for a week or two. So we were missing their calls a lot with only running 3 routes in a year. So the phenology surveys are meant for volunteers, you know, ideally a lot of them, if they are lucky enough to have a pond on their own property or a lake, they'll survey that site. And the purpose of those surveys is to pick only one or two sites versus the 10, but then to survey those much more frequently than 3 times a year. And what that helps us determine is the actual full calling periods for each species. So we actually will catch the beginning of the wood frog calling and the end of the wood frog. That provides us, you know, additional information on, you know, of course, distribution, but also information on the frogs in the state, and helps with management, and helps us look at long-term trends, you know, with changing weather conditions.
Well, we will talk more about the frogs and toads of Wisconsin after we check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. So that is a chorus frog, one of the frogs that is calling this spring. We have 12 frog species in Wisconsin. That includes 1 toad, 5 tree frogs, and 6 true frogs, according to the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. We are talking with 2 DNR conservation biologists to learn more about Wisconsin frogs and toads. We're welcoming your questions. We're welcoming your observations. Are you hearing any frogs these days? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guests are Rory Pulaski, a conservation biologist at the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, and Andrew Badgey, also a conservation biologist at the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. And I'm sorry, Rory, pronounce your last name for me.
Pulaski,
like the community. Right. All right, good. I just wanted to make sure. So I just played the chorus frog there. We heard a peeper, and we heard a wood frog. Are those the three that are making noise these days?
Yeah, there's probably about 4 species that people could hear out right now: the wood frogs, spring peeper, chorus frog, and then the leopard frog as well.
Oh, well, and so why are they early spring peepers and callers?
Yeah, they, you know, our 12 species in Wisconsin have themselves spread out calling wise, you know, throughout the spring and early summer. And they do that just to stagger the breeding time, so they're not all trying to breed and fight for the pond locations at the same time. So these are our 4 early season callers. Pickerel frog once in a while calls early too. But yeah, these are our typical 4 that most people will be hearing this time of year.
So, you know, we probably should talk. Do we know how the frogs are doing after this past winter? Maybe, Andrew, you can. Do we know how they're doing this spring?
Well, as far as everything that I've heard, it seems to be that they're on pace for a normal spring. As far as trends from the last couple of years, we haven't really noticed anything out of the ordinary. So I guess, for instance, I guess I'll talk about a couple of them that have had some trends throughout the history. But so the American bullfrog, that is a species that historically has been harvested for food. So frog legs is a big one, and we've actually noticed since we started the survey the number or the percent occurrence of all bullfrogs calling at all the sites that has actually gone up over the 30-35 year history of the program. And we've also noticed a couple species decline as well. More intriguingly is the American toad. That seems to be more of a downward trend. We're not quite sure if that's significant or not right now, but that's one that we're kind of looking at, as well as the mink frog. northern leopard frog and pickerel frog also kind of have downward trends over the history. So luckily, the northern leopard frog hasn't really, it's kind of stabilized as far as what I'm looking at. Again, this is just looking at trend lines. So we have to do more statistic analysis with these to actually determine the trends. But just kind of the eye test, that's what we're seeing right now.
And the spring peepers and the chorus frog are stable, are you saying?
Yes, the spring peeper actually, again, looking at trend lines, it looks like it's actually gone up a little bit over time. So they seem to be doing well. And actually, since 2012, there was a drought year. All the frog species have seemed to have rebounded quite well from that. So,
yeah. When you mentioned the toad going down, that's interesting. It just reminded me to ask you, what's the difference between a frog and a toad?
Well, frogs, they kind of have, I guess the biggest difference are they're a lot less wartier. And so a toad, obviously, it looks really warty, and they have big, they're called paratoid glands right on the sides of their heads. And so when animals try to eat them like raccoons, they kind of, a secretion comes out of that, and it actually kind of is distasteful, and to some animals it's kind of poisonous. And so, as well as toads are actually, they kind of hop more, whereas frogs, they tend to have longer leaps and bounds and stuff. So those are honestly the two main differences between the different kinds.
Yeah, I always remember that the old story that if a toad peed on you, that you would get warts like the toad. but it didn't happen. Do we know, have any idea why the toad would be declining in population suddenly? I'm not sure if that's the right word.
Yeah, I don't know if it's necessarily a sudden decline. It could possibly just be that our survey methodology isn't quite catching the toads during the right time of the year. They're kind of shifting their calling based off of differences in weather patterns recently. So that could be part of it. Otherwise, a lot of frogs and species like that, habitat loss could be also a factor as well with the toad. However, the toad is a very urban species when it comes to amphibians, so I'm not necessarily sure if that's the case, but it could very well be. Rory might have some other thoughts too, though.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I think Andrew had a good point that, you know, they typically call for a little bit shorter period of time, like the wood frog, so it's possible that our surveys are missing them a little bit. Yeah, in general, you know, species like the American toad and the chorus frog, they're pretty urban species. They do fairly well, so it's a little surprising that they seem like they might be going down. But, you know, like Andrew mentioned, we really want to look at long-term trends, too, so just a couple years usually isn't a lot to be concerned about.
We are talking about frogs and toads in Wisconsin, learning about some of the trends from the Wisconsin Frog and Toad Survey, which is taking place, ongoing and taking place right now, talking about the frogs that we can hear right now, too. Did you say, Rory, that four are calling right now?
Yeah, there's about four or five that are calling. You probably can hear right now. I actually have heard some people say they've started hearing toads, too. So they kind of all blend together.
Yeah, and you mentioned that you were just in the Devil's Lake area and you were hearing a bunch at one time.
Yeah, just this past weekend, I was out hiking near Devil's Lake. And yeah, we heard from the same pond, which was pretty interesting. The spring peeper, chorus frog, northern leopard frog, and wood frog were all calling from the same spot. So, and we got close enough to be able to watch the leopard frogs calling, which was fun to see.
Oh, that is cool. That is very neat. So it is unusual to hear them all calling from the same pond?
Yeah, you know, they have a little bit different habitat preferences. So the wood frog is, you know, its name might suggest, likes wooded areas. Spring peepers typically like wooded areas, and the leopard frog and chorus frog typically like a little bit more open areas. So we just happen to be, you know, partly in a good spot, too, where we had some permanent water, a small pond, and then half of the area was open and half was wooded. So there's definitely a fair number of areas where you can hear all of them, but a lot of times you'll only hear one or two or three of those species at once.
Rory Pulaski is a conservation biologist with the Wisconsin DNR, as is Andrew Badgie. They are here to talk with us about Wisconsin's frogs and toads, and we're welcoming your questions for them. Which frogs or which frog sounds are you hearing in your neck of the woods? Do you have any questions about frog behavior, biology? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. And we do have a link to the Frog and Toad survey information and more information on Facebook. Guy on Facebook says the sounds of frogs are his very favorite animal sounds. I guess I'm there too. Kent wants to know, where's a good spot to listen to and see frogs and toads in the Driftless region? Maybe you have some suggestions, Andrew.
Yeah, to be honest, I've had the most luck as far as listening to and seeing them at the same time. A lot of the boat launches along the Mississippi River and the lower Wisconsin River seem to have good opportunities for that. And the reason why I say that is because a lot of the frogs tend to congregate around the boat launches as well. So good opportunities to sing bullfrogs and green frogs and other frogs too. So
here's an email from Brad who says, I have a large frog pond in Georgia, mostly populated by great big bullfrogs. This year, the spring peepers are strangely absent, probably due to the weird winter weather here, but the bullfrogs are plentiful. Are there large populations of bullfrogs in Wisconsin? How big are they in Wisconsin? Is it true that the great American bullfrog is the largest species in the world? I'm a little confused there, but I guess Brad is listening from Georgia and has a frog pond there. What can you tell us about the bullfrog in Wisconsin, Andrew?
Well, the bullfrog is a native species of Wisconsin, and it is the biggest species in the state. I can't necessarily say about that if the world, there's a couple other bigger species that I can think of, but I'm not sure if the bullfrog gets bigger. I've actually heard stories, too, of if you stretch the legs out of some of the bullfrogs in Wisconsin that have been found, they can get up to about close to a foot and a half in length. So they can get really big, and again, that's kind of part of the reason why people have historically harvested them for food, just because they're kind of a meatier frog. I guess they're also... They also have kind of the loudest, they have a foghorn type of breeding call, and so they're really distinctive when you compare them to any of the other species of Wisconsin. So it's actually kind of a really cool sound, and whenever I play it to the public, everyone always kind of gives interesting looks as if they're kind of intrigued that something so small can create such a large noise. So.
Yeah, we happen to have a clip of the American bullfrog. Let's take a listen. Yeah, I can almost see that that chin it has blowing up with when he does that. So, anything to add about the bullfrog, Rory?
Yeah, Andrew covered most of it. Regarding the spring peeper question, frog populations just typically fluctuate quite a bit from year to year. So that could be what's causing the spring peeper to not be as plentiful this year. Another likely cause, though, is the bullfrogs are so large, they're actually predators of a lot of other frogs.
Naughty.
I know. and the peepers are about an inch and a half long, so they're a pretty decent sized meal for them to eat. So that could be what's causing it. We see that, a fair amount at ponds where bullfrog populations or even green frogs will, fluctuate as the smaller frogs are going down. And a lot of it's probably due to them eating the smaller frogs.
I guess it crossed my mind, but that's too bad. What are the other predators of frogs? I mean, we talk about habitat loss as being a threat, but do they have a lot of predators, too?
Yeah, they do have a fair number of predators. There's a variety of bird species that will eat them. Some of the bigger birds will, the bullfrog is obviously easier for some of the birds to eat. Snakes will eat a lot of our water snakes, or garter snakes will eat a lot of frogs. Raccoons, skunks, whatever can get their hands on them, catch them, will eat them. So,
but mostly the frogs, and I shouldn't say that. While the bullfrog might snack on a peeper, what is its typical diet?
Yeah, frogs eat based on, not on scent, but based on sight. So if anything's moving in front of them, they'll try to eat it. I've seen them, even if there's a little leaf or something moving, that kind of, gets their attention and they might try to eat that. So they'll eat, literally anything that they can fit in their mouth. Little frogs, they'll eat grasshoppers, any type of invertebrate bugs, insects is their main diet typically.
And do they all have that long tongue that shoots out and snatches the prey with stickiness?
Yeah, they kind of lunge at their prey. There's a few different types of tongues that frogs can have based on where they attach in their mouth. So some stick out a little bit more than others, but yeah, they all typically employ the same technique to get the frog, to get the food.
Well, let's take some calls. We have Walt, I believe, in Fort Atkinson. Hi, Walt.
Yeah, this is Walt. Good morning. I really like frogs. And my question goes with, I've got a little 3-acre area that I have been restoring to a habitat with a wetland scrape and a pond. And so in the spring, like right now, I've got a lot of frogs calling, peepers and others. But I'm pretty close to farm fields, and I know they spray those farm fields. So I'm wondering, what is the effect on my frogs from a little chemical drift? Mm. And my quick second question is, can I hold out any hope for a return of cricket frogs? So those are my two thoughts this morning. Thanks.
Thank you, Walt, for calling. Well, first off, just because it was the last thing you mentioned, any hope of cricket frogs? The cricket frog is very threatened right now?
Yeah, it's our only state endangered amphibian, actually, in Wisconsin. They used to be found in about the southern half of Wisconsin, and we now have them pretty much focused, concentrated in the southeast part of the southwestern part of the state, and also a few populations in Waukesha County. So it's not 100% out of the question that they could populate Fort Atkinson, but it is a little ways, unfortunately, from any of our nearest sites. So generally, the frogs migrate to new areas by moving, but there's also the chance that that the frog eggs could get picked up by ducks on their feet, and that repopulates new areas sometimes, too. So,
wow. Any thoughts about the pesticides or chemicals used by farming fields?
Yeah, that definitely can be an issue, can be a pretty significant issue in some cases. It really depends on the type of fertilizer or pesticide that the farmer's using. There are some that, in studies have shown to be not, they don't impact the frogs at all, and some are very impactful. So it, really depends on that. And then secondly, even if it is a fairly toxic pesticide, if it's, if they're hopefully spraying it on days when it's not too windy, or it has what's called a short half-life or the chemical breaks down very quickly, that would be helpful too. But frogs are definitely pretty susceptible to pesticides.
Yeah. Do you want to add anything, Andrew, to pesticides or the cricket frog?
As far as the pesticides, I think Rory covered it. One thing I do want to mention, though, that not a lot of people might think about is if you do have bug spray, insect spray on your hands or skin, and you do want to pick up a frog, I would advise against it, because that is actually really, really harmful for the frogs, and you could almost actually kill the frog within a couple minutes of handling it. That's actually been documented. So that's one thing I would say for people to avoid, if at all possible. And as far as the cricket frog, we also do have another new population that we documented in Walworth County, but as far as near Walt's wetland in Fort Atkinson, I think Rory pretty much covered it as far as it's unlikely that he would start noticing them show up, but I guess you just never know, so can't hurt to keep monitoring.
We'll have both of our guests address Carrie's question when we come back. She said that she once raked up a frog, specifically a big toad, and that's when she realized that toads must overwinter by burying themselves in the ground. So she wants to know how frogs and toads overwinter in the state, and we will address that when we come back. And more questions from you, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Wow, that's a loud tree frog that really making a racket. We are talking about Wisconsin's frogs and toads and welcoming your questions about their behavior and biology and talking about their populations and threats to their populations. Welcoming your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. So are you hearing any frogs these days? What are you hearing and where? Any stories to share about frogs? We are talking with frog experts, Rory Pulaski and Andrew Badgey. They are both a conservation biologist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Let's get back to Carrie's question. She recalls raking up a toad, apparently in the spring when I'm not sure when that was, but she realized that toads must overwinter by burying themselves in the ground. Is that true? Is that how toads overwinter, Rory?
Yeah, that is true. It's pretty interesting. A lot of our frog species have different techniques for surviving the winter, and the toad is our only species that buries itself in the ground. So it actually will stay, keep adjusting throughout the winter so that it stays below the frost line.
Very interesting. So how do the other species overwinter?
Yeah, so we have most of our true frogs, not our tree frogs, but our what people think of as our standard frogs. A lot of those guys overwinter at the bottom of lakes and rivers, just in the water, in the cold water, and kind of sit in the, 33 degree water for the winter.
And they just kind of freeze and hibernate and hang out there.
Yep, they're still kind of awake, but very, very slow, obviously. Mm-hmm. Their metabolism slowed down, so they don't need to eat or breathe too much. Mm-hmm. They can take in most of the oxygen through their skin. And then several of our other species, some of our tree frogs, overwinter in the uplands, actually. They'll stay not like the toad underground, but just under some leaf litter. They actually can freeze solid in the winter, so their heart will even stop, and they have a natural antifreeze, glucose-based antifreeze in their blood that prevents their cells from breaking, which is pretty interesting. That's pretty amazing.
It is really amazing. And everybody's awake now, or we've got such an oddball spring here. Are they out and about all now?
They should be, yep. Mm-hmm. They should all be out right now. Some haven't, their calling periods haven't started yet, so they're not quite calling. But everything should be awake on these colder mornings, colder nights. They're probably hunkered down a little bit more, but everything should pretty much be out in terms of the frogs for the year.
Yeah, Andrew, we talked about who was calling right now. So maybe you can just kind of, if you can, lead us through the progression. What are, what we're hearing, the peepers and the chorus frogs and the leopard frogs and the maybe a couple of extra wood frogs. And then who are we going to be hearing next and how does it progress?
Yeah, so again, the species that are calling right now are spring peepers, chorus frogs, wood frogs. And then the next subset of species that begin to call are the northern leopard frog, the pickerel frog, and the American toad. And then, so that kind of happens a little bit on the back end of spring. Then you kind of get into late spring, early summer, and you start hearing the both gray tree frog species. So one is just the gray tree frog, and the other one is the Cope's gray tree frog, the ones we just heard on the audio clip. And then we'll kind of progress to late May through June and then July, and then you'll start hearing Blanchard's cricket frogs in the southwest part of the state and a couple of the southeast locations, as well as up in the northern third of Wisconsin, the mink frog will start calling. And then and at the same time of those last two species, you'll start hearing green frogs and bullfrogs calling as well. And bullfrogs are typically one of the later species in the year to start calling. So I wouldn't expect to start hearing them until mid to late June and into early July.
And they all call at different times in part because, well, that's their biology, but they don't all want to be I guess, mating and breeding at the same time?
Yeah, part of it's habitat usage. So the species calling right now, they typically prefer more of the shallower wetlands, so the ephemeral ponds that dry up sooner. And so they end up breeding earlier because they need to, their eggs and tadpoles need to develop a little bit sooner before those ponds dry up. And then, again, kind of later in the year, then you have more of these deeper-bodied wetlands and lakes and ponds and stuff. And those are where, like, green frogs and bullfrogs, actually, they take a couple of years to develop in the tadpole stage, so they kind of need that those deeper bodies of water that don't freeze entirely during the winter so the tadpoles can develop properly. So,
yeah. Well, and you know your frogs. You could tell the difference between those tree frogs. That was the Cope's gray tree frog. It sounded like it was almost yelling, didn't it?
Yeah, the Cope's is, they sound really similar to the untrained ear, but once you kind of listen enough, you can kind of tell that the louder call that's a little bit harsher in that last clip, and it actually lasts a lot shorter. That's the Cope's gray tree frog, and that's really the only way we can tell the two species apart, because they're pretty identical looking outside of taking a genetic sampling of the two and looking at their chromosome number. So yeah, that's the best way to for us to figure out which one's which.
We have full line, so let me go back to the phones. Jim in River Falls has been waiting. Hi, Jim. I guess Jim hasn't been waiting. Jim got tired of waiting. Jim wanted to know, during the survey, are you seeing any issues with diseases for frogs? We talked about other threats to frogs. Rory, are there disease problems with frogs?
Yeah, you know, looking throughout the world, there are a couple diseases, funguses. The chytrid fungus is one that comes to mind that can impact frogs. We've noticed small numbers of diseases in Wisconsin, but luckily so far nothing that's having a widespread impact on any of our species.
Let's go to Paula next in Racine. Hi, Paula.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Great program, and thanks for all your work with the frogs. My question is, we have a little pond in our backyard, and probably last 5 years, it populated with the bullfrogs. But I noticed last year there seemed like there was a decreased number, and now I just learned that they won't be calling till later. But I'm worried about that I might be losing them again. Is there anything I can do to help foster their environment to keep them around? I know we have a lot of herons that I see hunting for them. And we have a lot of, like, migratory birds that come through, but is there anything I can do to help them stay around?
How can we help the bullfrog, or Paula, help the bullfrog? Andrew, do you want to try?
Well, I think it kind of depends on how much effort you want to go to, but just making sure that, I guess part of it could be a predator control issue. I'm not sure if there's a lot of predators in the area that are preying on the younger bullfrogs, otherwise, it could also be that the bullfrogs are declining too, because of I'm not sure how deep the pond is, and so if it got too cold and the water froze too deep, it could actually create some winter kill in those bullfrogs and decrease the population quite a bit, if not to the point where they just no longer can overwinter and live in that pond. And so I think over time, if that was the case, they would eventually kind of repopulate from deeper lakes and rivers and stuff. So. But outside of that, I guess just kind of keeping your excess fertilizer and pesticides, if you're taking care of your lawn, just try and minimize that usage around the actual pond itself so it doesn't filtrate in there. So those would be my suggestions.
Yeah, and the bullfrog's not going to like it if we, I don't know, toss a bunch of mealworms in the pond or something like that. They don't expect that or want that.
Not necessarily. No, they're kind of a sit and wait predator, and so pretty much anything that comes in front of them or moves in front of them that can fit in their mouth, they're going to try and eat. So I don't necessarily think that trying to feed them is going to help them necessarily, yeah. Unless you're throwing it right in front of them. So
yeah, thanks for calling, Paula. Eric on Facebook says he's heard chorus frogs, spring peepers, leopard frogs this month in eastern Racine County. He said that with the unseasonably warm and snow-free period in January, volunteers at the Chiwaukee Prairie, Chiwaukee Prairie in Kenosha County, reported hearing the spring peeper during the warmest January day.
Wow. That's Chiwaukee is a very nice area in the southeastern part of the state. I had not heard that, but it doesn't surprise me too much. Chiwaukee is pretty open, as you'd expect from the name Chiwaukee Prairie. Some of those shallower ponds that could get a lot of sun and, you know, maybe didn't have a lot of ice on them. It's definitely not out of the realm of possibility, but that's interesting to hear.
So, Rory, you mentioned there's something new this year with the frog and toad survey. You're going to be, checking out the which frog was it?
The mink frog. Mm-hmm. So, yep, that's one of our rare species in Wisconsin. It's a special concern, so it's not quite up to the level of threatened or endangered. But that species is found in the northern third of Wisconsin, and so we'll be using citizen monitors similar to what we use for the frog and toad survey to do surveys for us. And so, if anyone's interested, we'll be posting that on the Frog and Toad website within the next month or so. The mink frog is one of the later season callers. And the reason we're looking at those are a couple reasons. The species is pretty range restricted. It's a rare species in Wisconsin. But most importantly, its calling is very varied. So unlike our other species that typically call peak right around dusk time at night, the mink frog can have a full chorus, which is what we call when there's a lot of frogs calling. They can have a full chorus in the middle of the afternoon, sometimes even in the middle of the night at 2 or 3 in the morning. So we're trying to get a better handle on that species, and we'll be having people conduct a few surveys both during the afternoon and the evening to try to get a better idea of abundance of that species in the state.
Well, Mary has a good last question for us. She wants to know where she can go to listen to and learn about the calls of frogs and toads in Wisconsin. So I guess just if someone's a novice at this, so how can we learn more? Andrew, maybe you can handle that one.
Yes. So the best way to learn about the different calls and all the frogs and the survey in itself is just to go to a search engine like Google and type in Wisconsin Frog and Toad Survey. And then the website should pop up right away. You can click on there and kind of peruse the website. And we actually have kind of a species drop-down tab. And from there, you can watch a citizen-based monitoring video of the actual survey itself. So you can kind of learn what it's going to take to do the survey, as well as we have a bunch of different short 1 to 2 minute species videos of all the different frogs and toads in Wisconsin.
And so we're gonna leave it there because we're out of time. I wish we had more time. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.